Let's take our Bibles now and turn to Daniel chapter 7. The next few Wednesday nights, I want to spend some time dealing with eschatology, or the doctrine of last things. And tonight we want to look at Belshazzar's zoo, or Daniel's zoo, whichever one you want to call it, because Belshazzar had a vision, then Daniel had to deal with all of those things. We live in a day and age when there's war and there's carnage. There are problems all over the world. Injustice. We know that we see a lot of that on the world scene now. Will it ever come to an end? Will it ever cease to be that we will not have all of that? And much of that carnage is done in the name of religion. Well, let's look at Daniel 7, and we'll read maybe all of this chapter. It is the Word of God, and you follow along as we read it. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. The sea there is typical of nations. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side. It had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and was diverse or different from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garments was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. Pardon me. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away. Yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four, are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, thank you, and possess the kingdom forever even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass. You feel like shouting yet? Which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout or greater than his fellows. I beheld the same horn made war with the saints, prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise. And another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first. He shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations, my thoughts much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Now that's a long passage of Scripture, but I wanted you to see all these different elements that are involved in this. The book of Daniel is one of two books that the liberals attack all the time. They hate the book of Genesis. Because if you believe what Genesis said in the first 11 chapters, yea, in verse 1 of Genesis 1, it answers and takes care of all the other things thereafter. And that's why they do not want to accept the Genesis account and accept what is said in Genesis 1 through 11. And Daniel lived 530 B.C., somewhere right around there. Daniel the prophet. And Daniel was there in Babylon. There's no way that Daniel could have made these prophecies accidental or just dreamed them up or thought them up. They're too exact. They're too precise. They're exact. It happened exactly like he said. And what had not happened is going to happen one of these days. And so the liberals say, well, it really wasn't written in 530 B.C. It was written in 130 B.C. A man by the name of Porphyry was a leader in attacking it originally. And there are many that still follow him and his teachings. And they attack the Word of God. And they attack the book of Daniel. Because it is remarkable. And it shows that God was acting in human history, and it showed that God revealed that to him. It had to be God that revealed it to him. Now, the liberals say, well, there is no record there in the history that is recorded of Belshazzar. Therefore, this must be a farce. Well, you know, the Bible always proves itself to be right. They say, well, there's no record. In 562 B.C., evil Merodach was 2 years the leader of them. And then there was a man by the name of Nergal-Sharezer who was in power. And then there was another one by the name of Marduk, who was just a young child ruler. And he only ruled for 9 months. And then there was Nabonidus that is recorded. All of these recorded, but nowhere is it recorded there in their documents about Belshazzar as such. And so they say, see, Daniel is not really the Word of God. Therefore, we cannot believe it. We cannot accept what it says. and it discredits all of the Word of God when they do that. But we know that Belshazzar did exist. We know that they found out that Belshazzar did exist. And you remember Belshazzar, whenever the dream was interpreted for him, and Daniel said to him these words at the feast, he said, "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin." And those words are talking about the fact that he is wanting and God is going to judge him. But he said in chapter 5, verse 29, something significant. He said, if you can interpret this, by the way, some of them interpret this as to say, money, money tickles your person. But at any rate, I don't know about that. That may not be a good interpretation of it. But we know that he mentioned in chapter 5, verse 29, that he would make him third in the kingdom. Why not second? Why wouldn't he make him second? Because Nabonidus and Belshazzar had a co-regency. They were serving together as co-regents. And Nabonidus had no royal blood whatsoever running in his veins, none whatsoever. And he was more interested, believe it or not, in archaeology. And he was a person that left Nabonidus left Belshazzar in charge to go out and do his archaeological work. He was an antiquarian, and that was something that was more important to him than serving as king. So he went out to do that. And all we can tell you is the archaeologists have done some work over in Babylon, and they found clay tablets. And guess whose name they found on some of those clay tablets? Belshazzar. And it proves without question. It says, Belshazzar, the son of Nabonidus. And so the inscription, the walls and all were there, proves that whole thing to be like that. So the student of the Bible, we have to understand that it doesn't matter what the so-called experts say. If you're a student of the Bible, and there seems to be some seeming discrepancy that somebody points out to you, just don't believe it and wait a while and you'll find out that it proves the Bible every time. I don't care if it's a dinosaur leg or a dinosaur tooth or a dinosaur ear or whatever it may be. In time, it all proves the Word of God to be what it was. Now, let's go back in chapter 7 and look at these beasts real quick. Chapter 7, there were four great beasts, verse 3, came up out of the nations. They were different one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And the wings, therefore, were plucked. It was lifted up from the earth, made stand upon the feet as a man. The man's heart was given to it. What in the world is he talking about there? What does he mean by that? Verse 5, another beast, second. This one was like a bear. Raised up itself on one side, three ribs in a mouth. Between the teeth of it. And they said unto it, arise, devour much flesh. And then here's the third one, verse 6. I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl, and the beast had also four heads. Now if I see a leopard with four heads, maybe one, I'm running, but definitely with four heads, and dominion was given him. What is he talking about? After this I saw in the night vision, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful, terrible, strong, exceedingly. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue of the feet of it and was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns, 10 different horns. Now he's describing these beasts and what he saw in that vision. Now look at verse 9. We go from that to a beautiful, beautiful, if you want to see the throne room of heaven, look at it in verse 9. He's seeing all of these things, and we'll talk about them in a minute. But in verse 9, he said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. He's talking about the holiness of God. God's perfect holiness there in heaven, the throne room of heaven, and His hair. And then His throne was like the fiery flame and His wheels as burning fire. Friend, that's God in all of His holiness there in the throne room of heaven. He goes to God. And then He talks about those ministers in verse 10. A fiery stream issued, came forth from before Him. Notice this. Thousands ministered unto Him. Well, you think God isn't powerful? You think the throne room of God isn't powerful? And Jesus isn't powerful? And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before Him. The judgment was set and the books were opened. And here He shows those who are ministering even to God and to, I believe, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in verse 11, the beast is destroyed. Verse 11 says, I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which your horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. That is the judgment and the wrath of Almighty God. Now let's go back and look. We know that there were different empires that came along. You had in the Assyrian Empire, and then in 722 B.C., Shalmaneser took them, and then in 605, some say 606, you had Judah taken captive. The northern kingdom had been taken captive. Judah taken captive, at least most of them, 598. He came back into that area. Nebuchadnezzar takes Ezekiel out during that time. 586 B.C., he decimates, totally decimates Jerusalem and removes the rest of them with the exception of just a few. Jeremiah was one of those. They went into Egypt, which was not a good thing. And Egypt decided they were going to, the Egyptians decided they were going to fight the Babylonians, and that was their mistake, and they've never been powerful since that time. They have an existence, but nothing like that. So when he's talking about the lion here, he's talking, I think, about the ruins of Babylon. And you can see some of those ruins of Babylon. They've been taken into Germany, and they've taken them there because that was what they did during that time. And there is the glazed, bright blue walls that are still there today. And on those walls, they have lions depicted all over them. In other words, that is a symbol of the Babylonian Empire. You just have to put up with this. I'm going to preach anyway. Alright? Now, he mentions two wings here. And we just have time to barely touch on them. And the two wings I think he's talking about here in Babylon would be Nabonidus and Belshazzar. And they were co-regents. And they were plucked. Because after all, it was only a human kingdom. And human kingdoms will fall and can fall. And so this one did. And then we move to the bear again when he talks about the bear. And this bear is leaning on one side. And I believe he's talking here about the Medo-Persian Empire as he was projecting that out in the future. And the symbol was that. The Medes on one side, the Persians on the other side. And then the Persians, of course, were stronger, and they ultimately conquered the Medes. And then the three ribs were, I think, depicted the three countries that they conquered. They conquered Egypt, Lydia, and Babylon. These were the three countries that they conquered. So you have the lion, you have the bear, the Medo-Persian Empire, and then we move to the leopard that he mentions. And the leopard was faster than the others. It had four wings. Speaking of speed and the fastness of it, and that was symbolic, I believe, of Alexander the Great. Most Bible scholars, conservative Bible scholars, believe that. And this was the Macedonian or the Grecian Empire. Most of us who know about history that it was Alexander the Great who conquered so swiftly and so fast. And it was amazing how fast. Nobody has conquered like that all the way from Greece to Asia or modern day Pakistan. He conquered all of that in short order, unbelievable order. He conquered. Now, unfortunately, he died as a young man. And when he was dying, it is purported that he said this when he was asked, who would take the kingdom? Who will take the kingdom? And he answered this way, to him who is powerful enough to take it. To him who is powerful enough to take it. That expression is used in a lot of different ways. But let me ask you, how could Daniel know all of that about the lion, about the bear, about the leopard, about these things? How could he know all of these things and be able to interpret what is being presented here? What could he do about that? How could Daniel know unless God had told him? And then he even talked about, in the symbolism here, the four generals, that is, the kingdom was split up into four kingdoms, and four generals that were over those kingdoms. And how did Daniel know all about that and how that was actually going to take place? Well, we have beast 4 in verse 19. Look there. Beast 4 in verse 19. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast. He said, this one's really got me. It's different. Which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful. Teeth were of iron, his nails of brass, which devoured and break in pieces and stamped the residue with his feet. Who in the world is he talking about there? What is he talking about that seemed to trouble him so very much? Well, verse 23, the angel said, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. Wow, this is quite a beast, isn't it, that can do all of that. The angel answered him there in verse 23. All of these things. Now, he talks about this beast having 10 horns. The 10 horns, if you're taking notes, jot in the margin, are 10 kings. That's what he's talking about. These 10 kings. And there was going to come one that was going to subdue 3 and be dominant. A horn that would be dominant. And he talks about the period of time that was going to be involved in all of that and all that would take place in the years that are mentioned, the 3.5 years, the time, times, and half time. That's what he's talking about, the 3.5 year period of time. And then you have, of course, the Great Tribulation. You have the whole tribulation, the 7 year period of time. Now, you go back to chapter 2, we don't have time to go through all of that, but you remember the statue in chapter 2. What did it have? It had a head of what? What metal? Gold. And then after that, you had the silver that was the breastplate or the chest. And then you had the brass in the stomach area. And then you had the iron from there down on the legs. And then when you got on down, you had iron and clay mixed. And then what happened to that statue? What happened to that statue? If you remember in chapter 2, there was a stone cut out without hands. And that was a picture of Jesus Christ. And that stone came down and hit that statue on the bottom, the revived Roman Empire is what we're talking about, and tore it all down. Everything that had to do with evil and Antichrist and all of those bad things. It's sort of like a bowling ball. You get those bowling pins. You know, they're stout and strong. If somebody hits you over the head with one of them, it'd knock you out. But you stack them up down there and get somebody with a that knows how to bowl, and they can throw that thing down there. If they hit it just right, all 10 of them would go make a clattering noise and fall right down. Just like me when I bowl about 300 every game. And that's exactly what's going to happen. The Bible is talking about that. The gold and silver and bronze have great value. The iron is very strong. But the 10 toes are iron mixed with clay. And when the stone hits that, it destroys it. And that is the kingdom of Christ. And so Jesus, he's simply saying, I am King of kings and Lord of lords. I am the King of Kings. And that stone is Jesus. Now, one of these days there's not going to be any more injustice. One of these days you're not going to have ISIS, wild, foolish, demon-possessed men raping little girls and women and killing them in front of their husbands and all of that. One of these days, injustice, the seeds of corruption in all... pardon me. That'll wake you up. All the seeds that were there, all the seeds of evil, all the seeds of corruption and power are going to be like that. Now, what about America? Well, I love America. America is a democracy. But a democracy is not going to last. Mark it down, it's not going to last. Because it is fallible in no kingdom. Now, it's better than what's second. It's better than anything that comes after that. And we have to go with it, and thank God we have a democracy. But ultimately, it would fail. And it's going, no matter how good it may be, at its best, it's going to fail. America's going to do that. Now, go back to verse 25 very quickly. I'll try to cover this as quickly as I can. Verse 25, the Bible says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High." Who is that? "And think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time," that's one, "and times," that's two, and that makes three, "and the dividing of time, half of that, 3.5. And so you have 3.5 years. What's he talking about? Well, he's talking about Antichrist. And you find it in the Bible here, time, times, and a half time. And then you also find it mentioned in other places, 42 months. And then you find it mentioned 1,260 days. And then you find it mentioned 3.5 years. And of all four of these, they're all the same. They're talking about the very same thing. And there's coming a day. There will be tribulation on the face of this earth. Be a horrible, horrible time. 7 years of tribulation. There'll be a pseudo-peace the Antichrist makes. And then he breaks that covenant that he's made with the Jews. And if you can't see the possibility of all that developing very soon, you're just not watching the news or seeing what could happen. We won't set a date. Nobody would if they had the right mind. But a lot of things are going on right now. But one of these days, the saints, during that tribulation period, especially the Jews and any people that are saved during that time, of course, we're going to have the rapture, but during that time, when it comes, there's going to be a terrible, terrible wrath of the Iron Kingdom, the revived Roman Empire. And so it's going to happen. Now, when Daniel saw these things, he didn't see the line between, the intervening line between all of this. He didn't see it like we see it. We know that there's a time period between the original Roman Empire and the revived Roman Empire. Daniel probably did not understand that or see all of that during that time. But when it comes, what is the time he's talking about? Well, we know he's talking about that tribulation period of time that's going to happen. So we have the different dispensations of different time periods in the Bible. We have the Old Testament, and that would be Abraham, Moses, and Elijah. That'd be the people sitting way over there in that section. That's who you are. You're the Old Testament. That's why you're way over there. And then the church age, they would be the next people in line, and they're going to serve during that time and during the church age until the rapture comes, and you're blessed people. I don't know, Brother Arnie, how you made it in that group, but at any rate, the rapture is going to come. And then we've got another group over here that's going to go through the tribulation. Sorry, folks. You're going to go through the tribulation. But these few back there over in that corner, they are going to be in the millennial kingdom. You like that, don't you? Yeah. So we have all of these things depicted really here in the auditorium tonight. But there's coming tribulation, Antichrist, the man of sin, He'll make a covenant with the Jews. He'll break it. The worst anti-Semite that has ever been on the face of the earth. He will make Hitler and Stalin look like Sunday school boys. He will hate the Jews in every way that he can. He will do all that he can to destroy any of the saints that are living during the tribulation. Well, thank God, one good thing that comes out of that, the Jews finally will realize, hey, Jesus really is the Messiah. They'll finally get it. And they'll realize their mistake, and they will say, Jesus is our Messiah, and that triggers the return of Jesus Christ. Not the rapture, but the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, back to verse 24. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall rise, and another shall rise after them. He shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And this is something that Ironside called the great parenthesis. And we know that he understood that there was a church age and then these things were going to take place. Daniel probably didn't see that until maybe in chapter 9. We'll maybe get to that someday as we talk about that. But there was that continuation of the ancient Roman authority. And some say, well, I believe it's a 10-nation confederacy of the European Union, and when it was 10 of them, that fit, and now there are more of them, then they're decreasing. I don't know if it'll be that, I don't know what it'll be, but I do know it will be. There will be this ancient Roman authority coming to power. It's going to happen as surely as the Word of God is true, and as surely as any prophecy of Daniel or any other prophecy in the Word of God has taken place. So, what's going to happen before the rapture? I don't know. How bad will it get? You say, well, Christians are not going to go through tribulation. And I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. I thank God I believe in that as far as the pre-tribulation rapture. But I want to tell you, there are already some Christians suffering right now. And we may do a little suffering. We need to get ready for it. Our country and our government and all is really totally against us, it seems. They favor the Muslim faith far more than they do the Christian faith in our country today, which is a sad thing. So we may go through some things. There may be some martyrs. Who knows? There may be some preachers put in jail because we're not going to kowtow and fail to preach the Word of God. We're not going to do it. The real preachers with backbone and believe in the Word of God. So some of the worst is yet to come. Now, is there no intervention? God just going to let it happen? Is there no intervention? Well, let's go back to verse 26 and 27, verses 26 and 27. And I love this. But the judgment shall sit. You know what he's saying here? The court is going to be seated. This is going to be a day. This is going to be a day of justice. Court is going to be seated. That's awesome. But the judgment shall sit, the court shall be seated. They shall take away Antichrist's dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. Amen. In verse 27, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. I like that, don't you? I told you the other day, we win. All this is going to happen, but we win. Whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, then all dominions shall serve and obey Him. They'll all serve and obey Him. All kingdoms, all dominions. So hitherto is the end of the matter. Daniel said, I don't blame Daniel. He said, my cogitations much trouble me. If you go through all of that, they might do it. But remember this. Here's things to understand. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It is not in vain, whatever the price. And I'll guarantee you this. Everybody who mistreats you as a Christian will bow down before the King of Kings someday. And then when you bow down before Him, you'll be glad that you were saved, that you knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, someday the carnage, the injustice, all of the evil on the face of the earth is going to be over with, because Jesus Christ is going to reign King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Don't you like that?